Today's book of the week, it's a lovely little book, and it's been written by Bill Proudman, who was one of the first doctors to work at the Queen Elizabeth Hospital when it became a general hospital. It had been running for 2 or 3 years as a maternity hospital, but then in the late 50s, it became a general hospital. Now, Guy Maddin's going to explain all this, but I think that it was the second public general hospital that we had in this state. We had the Royal Adelaide, and that had been there for donkey's years. And then in the late 50s, in the 50s, it was decided by the Playford government that we need another big hospital, and there was an election coming up. Is this starting to sound familiar to any of you? Hospitals and elections, they are intertwined. This book by Bill Proudman, who was one of the first doctors to work there, is called In the Beginning, The Formative Years of the Queen Elizabeth Hospital. Now, to talk about Bill and to talk about the book and the hospital, the hero in the book is, of course, the hospital. But to talk about it is Professor Guy Maddin. He's in our studio. He's the head of surgery at the QEH, and he's a professor of surgery at Adelaide University. Good morning, Guy.
Good morning, David.
Thank you for coming in.
It's a pleasure.
It's nice to be able to talk to you about a more reflective thing rather than the cut and thrust and the adversary of day-to-day health politics in this state.
Yeah, health politics occupy a lot of our time, of course, but I have to say this book that Bill's put together is fantastic because it really does set a 60-year story and you get an idea of what it was like at the beginning, but also, you know, the politics and the arguments and the discussions about the new hospital, the Queen Elizabeth, were not all that different than what's been going on with the Royal Adelaide.
Now, in a moment, we're going to launch into the book proper. But if you have a memory of the QEH, maybe you were born there. Guy, you were born there.
I was born there 4 months after the maternity hospital opened. So I've had a long link to the hospital.
Wow. But so maybe you were born there. Maybe you worked there. You might have been a cleaner. You might have been a nurse. You might have been the head of surgery. Whatever your encounter is with this grand old dame in the western suburbs, give us a call, 1-300-222-891. Guy, tell us, how significant was the QEH when it was built in the 50s?
Look, it was obviously very new for South Australia. The Royal Adelaide Hospital had opened shortly after the state opened, and then it moved in the 1911 to its current site, or it might have even been a bit before. But in the meantime, nothing had happened. And then the western suburbs were clearly expanding, and the Playford government felt that this was an important area to serve. And it was a new, it was innovative, it had all the latest thought processes that could be applied to hospitals at that time. They'd gone overseas to the US to get a sort of guidance on it. And it really was state of the art. And to give you an idea of what state of the art might have meant then, for example, there was this radical concept of keeping the patients in their beds and wheeling the beds to the various facilities they needed, for example, X-ray or off to theatres and the like.
So that was a breakthrough.
That was different, because what you did previously was you lifted them up, put them onto a barouche, moved them, lifted them off again, and so they moved around on their beds. But, of course, beds are quite big compared to barouches, so you then had to have a lot more space in the building to, you know, be able to pass in corridors and the like. So this added a lot to the footprint and the cost, but at the time, fortunately, it was pursued.
So, I mean, Bill talks about this in his book. It's been written by Bill Proudman. It's one of the first doctors at the QEH. And he'd just come back from several years working in the UK. And you'd think that the UK would have the very best. Certainly the United States would have. But he makes the point that a lot of the hospitals he'd worked in the UK were very old. Some of them were old infirmaries that had gradually grown into being hospitals. So I imagine it was a bit of a culture shock for him to come in to the QEH and think, wow, what have we got here?
Well, I think it was not only for Bill, who, of course, tells the story, but it also was a magnet to bring in some really talented individuals, because this was the new shiny hospital that seemed to be well-designed, and indeed, in many ways, it was well-designed. And so many very talented people were very keen to work there, and that led on to some really quite innovative activities that occurred over the next few years.
Also get the impression, and perhaps with the passing of years, you know, the arguments aren't quite as venomous, and the good times, you remember those. But I get the impression from Proudman's book that it was a happy place. Maybe that was because that happiness is a symptom of the newness and the growth. It was clearly a positive place. It had a big future, and a lot of money had been spent on it.
Look, I think that was true, and there was certainly the staff that were required to run it were a lot less than the number of staff we need now. Mm-hmm. The administrative staff were tiny. The nursing hierarchy was small and tight. The surgical and medical staff was very busy, but not nearly the staff the way we are now. But I also would have to say that the Queen Elizabeth Hospital remains a very happy place. It's always under threat. It's always being attacked politically. But actually, you walk in the doors and the staff, it's a very good place to be.
It was built by Playford. He had an election in mind, didn't he?
He had an election, which I think he held in 62, and it was the last one he won, and he didn't get re-elected after that. And, of course, you know, the political landscape changed in South Australia.
It's not unlike what we've just been through with the Royal Adelaide.
Well, it's very similar. And, of course, the interesting thing, the Minister of Health at the time was Lyle McEwen. So Lyle McEwen actually, with the Queen Mother, opened the building on the 5th of May 1958. And I guess one of the things I would like to take the opportunity, and Bill makes a big deal about this in his book, and we at the Queen Elizabeth make a big deal about it as well. It's the Queen Elizabeth Hospital. And the reason it's the Queen Elizabeth Hospital is because the reigning monarch at the time, after whom it was named, was alive. And so if you name it after a non-reigning monarch, then it doesn't have the in front. It'd be QEH, but it's the TQEH.
TQEH, very important. Now, listeners, it's Alan from Trinity Gardens. He says, "Hi, David, I was a 12-year-old patient in 1962 at the QEH. In there with some bad leg burns. It was a great hospital to be in, and I remember the care was terrific. I recall the nurses wheeling us over to the windows to watch the Guy Fawkes night as a bit of a treat. They also performed a skin graft on my legs, which I think was very new to the medical profession at that time." Now, that's a lovely segue, because the QEH very quickly got involved in some cutting research, didn't it?
It did. Look, Queen Elizabeth Hospital's always had a tremendously strong research base, and indeed, even now, it has the fantastic Basil Hetzel Institute, which is doing some great work. But in particular, Bill and a group of surgeons and renal physicians were terribly keen to pursue the idea of a renal transplant, which was had been done overseas, but it was in fact in 1965 the first successful renal transplant was done in Australia at the Queen Elizabeth.
Again, could you put that in some sort of perspective? The whole of the medical world would have been interested in what we were doing here, and particularly the nation. Doctors from all around Australia would have been very envious of that record.
Look, it was. I think there are two aspects of this. On the one hand, yes, there would have been a lot of disappointment that they hadn't been associated with it, and there's always great desire to be the first and to do it. However, I also think you have to acknowledge the really substantial courage the group had to take this on, because it's a high-stakes business, and if you do it well, and it was done extraordinarily well and the patient did fantastically well, then, of course, it's a great success. And everyone said it wasn't that easy, but it could have gone horribly wrong if the preparation hadn't been good. And they spent a lot of time preparing to make sure they had as much as they could, every base covered.
It was a gutsy thing to do.
I think it was a very courageous thing to do for the organisation and also for the individuals.
Helen has called. Hello, Helen.
Hello, David. How are you?
Good. What are your thoughts?
Oh, I remember my brother being born there. He was born there in July 1957. Yeah. Being an only child, and I was 8 at the time, I was so excited to see my little brother, but I wasn't allowed to go in and visit.
Oh.
No. And my dad had a truck in those days, being a market gardener. We lived at Fulham Gardens. And so he would take me up and leave me outside in the truck on, Woodville Road. But I remember the first time we went, we were so excited, and we came home to a dark house, and there was the burner on the electric stove still on. He must have left it since morning because Dad wasn't very domesticated.
No, dear old Dad.
Yeah, dear old Dad. And he said, well, you're not going to tell your mum. Oh, no, no, no. Of course, that was the very first thing I told her after I saw my little
You
brother.
Squealed.
Oh, I was a terrible squealer.
Oh, good on you, Helen. Yeah. And how, your brother, he was born in 1957. Everything went well?
Oh, yes. He went on to become an AMBO and he's just retired. He was one of the team leaders at the Fulham station.
Oh, beautiful. Thanks very much, Helen.
Thank you, David.
Helen makes the point, you know, attitudes changed and practices changed. It was, it would have been, I'm sure it was exceptionally professional and there's no doubt about that, but perhaps a lot more relaxed. There is a story in Bill Proudman's book, In the Beginning, of a certain trade in sputum that was going on at the Flagstaff Hotel just down the road.
Yeah, look, it appears at the time that if you suffered from TB, you were entitled to a pension, which I think is probably a very reasonable thing.
Yes.
But you needed to have a positive sputum.
Yes.
So if you didn't have a positive sputum, you could apparently go down to the Flagstaff Hotel and buy a positive sputum from those who did. And this was apparently a roaring trade. And I suspect it's one that's certainly stopped now. But at the time, it would have been fascinating to watch.
So you could just rock up to the Flagstaff and say, oi, where can I get some TB spit? And there would be a man or a woman. Probably a man who would be able to help you out.
Yeah, and I think that
for a price,
I think that shows a very supportive community,
a certain enterprising nature. He also talks about one of the doctors there, a Doug Cameron. A Doug Carman, and he was a member of the Plymouth Brethren, which is quite a strict Christian sect, and he wouldn't take his lunch with everybody else. And so there would be dear old Doug off in a corner in the cafeteria and he would be by himself. But he also, that affected the way he could be promoted within the system in terms of what he would apply for and what titles he would be prepared to accept. It would have been a very different world.
I mean, it's hard to imagine that. I think it was also he was unable to sort of join another organisation, so he couldn't become a fellow of the College of Surgeons because that was against the belief system he had.
But quite a brilliant man.
Apparently extraordinarily talented. And, you know, it is interesting, but I still think that our systems, of course it's changed, but I think our systems do need to tolerate the eccentric and the different because these are often people who bring a tremendous amount of insights into our practice.
Yeah. Tell us about Bill Proudman, the author of this book. The book we're discussing today in our book of the week is In the Beginning by Bill Proudman. Tell us about Bill.
Yeah. Bill's a remarkable man. He's taught many South Australian surgeons and medical students in his time, and I was certainly one of them. Not that I think he would describe me as one of his great students, but nonetheless, he has been incredibly interested in training and teaching surgeons. And so he came back from the UK and was a registrar at the hospital when it was opening. And not long after, I think in 1961, he became an honorary assistant surgeon. And just as we go through that, it's worth pointing out that up until 1972, all of the visiting staff to hospitals were honorary. They were not paid.
So what do you mean by that? So if you're a surgeon, say, and you worked at the QEH, you didn't get paid?
You didn't get paid.
Well, how'd you make a living?
Well, because you had your private practice. So you would spend time seeing private patients and operating at private hospitals, and then you would get your engagement to the public hospital by coming along and being involved in the care of the unit. Now, you had junior staff who were paid and managing it, but you were coming in as a consultant to manage the work, deal with the difficult cases.
What was the ethics behind that? What was the principle behind that?
Well, it had been long-standing. It had been part of our Australian culture, but certainly part of the South Australian culture for 100 years. And that was the way this was sort of charity work, I guess, in the original times. And then as the years went on, of course, the whole system got a bit more sophisticated, but it really was giving back to the teaching, giving back to the community, but obviously you were supporting yourself with your private practice.
Yeah, the tremendous commitment. I mean, let's not over-egg the pudding, I suppose, the fact that you were the surgeon at the QEH would have been a tremendous kudos and helped you in your private practice.
Correct.
You know, let's be sensible about this. But the commitment was a great one. I mean, there were people who were turning up and giving an awful lot to that hospital without a cent coming back.
Well, that is correct. And it continued, and indeed it's true of public hospitals in South Australia. I mean, certainly the Royal Adelaide was exactly the same. And that really was a different attitude. But I think also it is archaic, it is antiquated, and we now work in a much more professional environment and we need people who are engaged in a more formal fashion than this. But in the 1960s, this was the way it was done.
It wasn't that long ago.
It's not that long ago. So I was just going to lead on then. So in 1961, he joined the staff as the surgeon, as a member of a team, and then later on became head of some of the surgical teams there. He was involved in the donor operation for the transplantation, and he provided a fantastic critical insight into surgical practice there until his retirement in 1993. But, you know, and he really was a surgeon's surgeon. I mean, surgeons would go to him to be operated on because he was so thoughtful, so skilled, and so reliable. But probably, I think, in the long run, his greatest contribution has been to stimulating the teaching and training of surgeons in this town. And some of the sort of things he organised was a thing called the Lumps and Bumps session at the Queen Elizabeth. And so every 6 months, all the medical students and many of the training doctors would go on a Saturday morning and view patients who would be prepared to come in and show off their various lumps and bumps so that they could be examined by students. And you know, it was all voluntary, all unpaid. We'd normally give them their taxi fares and things, but all they got was a cup of coffee at the end. And, you know, we'd look at their thyroids, we'd look at their hernias, we'd look at their skin lesions that didn't need urgent things. It was fantastic.
Lots of texts coming in about Bill. One says, I think this sums it up, Bill Proudman was the best gentleman surgeon I ever worked with.
Well, I think that's right.
Yeah. Well, if you're listening, Bill, there's a lot of people who remember you. Judy from Kidman Park. Hello, Judy.
Good morning, David.
You remember Mr. Proudman?
Yes, I used to work in medical records and I used to type his letters.
Oh, well, what was he like?
He was a lovely person. He was very good at dictating. And I think if Guy was there, was he on the fourth floor, on the surgical floor? They had a surgical on one side and a medical on the other.
He was.
And each doctor's had their own floors. And I don't know whether it was third or fourth, but I remember that when the Queen Elizabeth, when it was first there, they had private floors on the seventh and eighth floors. All the rest were public, and then they had private floors on the seventh and eighth. And I used to type his letters, and they did summaries back in those days. And I don't know if they remember the medical records department. But, no, it was a happy place. And, I mean, I was only a young girl at the time, and I used to ride my bike from Findon, where I lived, and I used to leave it up on a ramp on Woodville Road. There used to be a ramp there years ago.
Oh, that was your bike?
Yes. And, you know, it was always there every night I came out from work to ride home. Not like if you had it there now, it'd be gone.
Thank you, Judy. Lots and lots of text people coming in. Wonderful memories of the QEH. Mary from Port Lincoln says, I nursed in the renal unit from 1969 to 1978. Best experience ever. Inspired me to further studies overseas. Yeah, it would have been a launching pad. We talk about Bill Proudman and others coming back and setting up what made a great hospital, but it then would have been a launching pad for a lot of careers.
There have been some great careers started at the Queen Elizabeth. Basil Hetzel, who's recently passed away, was the first professor of medicine there, and he has had a stellar career, and it all started at the Queen Elizabeth.
Helen has called from Yatla Vale. Hello, Helen.
Hello, David. How are you?
Very well.
Yes. My story is I was a second-year senior nurse. I came from the country and went over to nurse at the Queen Elizabeth, and we could do that because we could live in, which was great. And I assisted Dr. Jim Lawrence to do the kidney biopsy on a Mr. Tiramacco, who was the first kidney transplant in South Australia.
Wow.
Who, after he had the biopsy, some time later, he went on and became the first transplant.
Well, you would have felt special.
Yes, I did feel special. And that renal unit went on and was wonderful. We had Tony Clarkson, who was absolutely wonderful to work with. And I remember Mr. Proudman too. He was great too.
Oh, that's lovely. Thank you, Helen. Helen's
Thank
calling
you,
from Yatala Vale. Good morning, Bob.
Hi. I don't remember the Queen Elizabeth as a happy hospital. I think it's a proud hospital.
Ah.
There's so many good things have happened there. I was born there. My daughter was born there. My mother worked there. My sister is a sister there. We've had a great memories and many useful things have happened to our family there. But it used to be that it was the best way to do things.
Yeah.
When you talk about the kidney transplant being the first and the best, it's a great hospital. And it's been downgraded considerably, but it's such a wonderful place with so many good memories.
Thank you for your call, Bob. Thank you for coming in, Guy. People want to know, where can they get the book?
The book is in very short supply, and it's available if they ring the Department of Surgery at the Queen Elizabeth Hospital, 822-6756, and we can get them a copy. And all the funds that go from the book go to research at the QEH.
There we are. It's called In the Beginning. It's written by Mr. Bill Proudman. It's Mr., isn't it? Because he's a surgeon.
He's a surgeon, and he's a Mr.
It's Mr. Bill Proudman, and one of the very first doctors to work at the QEH. Thanks for coming in, Guy.
Thanks, David.
Guy Madden, a professor of surgery at the QEH, and head of surgery at the QEH, and professor of surgery at Adelaide University.